Ever since I was really young, I mean, I was always on the optimistic side in the way I think. I took this test called the StrengthsFinder. It's by the Gallup organization, and I started taking it when I was like 13, 14, something like that. And every time I took the test, the first they give you little breakdowns on like the different strengths you have. And they break down, like they have different names for it after you answer all these questions. And it's kind of like a personality thing. And number one or number two is always positivity. And it was always like you want to widen the circle, you want to bring people in. You're probably good in teams because you're good at motivating people. So that's something that's always been kind of like a thing about me that I'm more on the optimistic side, where I have people in my family, I have friends, I have a lot of people, that are, they say they're realists, or they say that they're maybe they're more on the pessimistic side, and that's just, yeah, that's fine. It's just like the makeup of our personalities, but there's also something to be said about changing the way you think. And looking at the way, happiness can be a part of your life in the practices that you do, in the things that you think of, and the things that you work, that you focus on. And so that's kind of what we'll be talking about with our guest today, Maria Baltazzi. She is a TV producer. She's in the Hollywood arena, but she's also an author. She has her PhD. She's done a lot of studies. She's a meditation coach. So she has a lot of hats, but she predominantly has this message of a happiness revolution that she wants to see. And so she has a book called Take a Shot at Happiness that you can buy on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. So go ahead and check that out. But if you're new to NAMI in Orange County, we are a grassroots organization that focuses on helping families, individuals, and parents that are affected by mental illness by providing classes and mentoring programs. And we have a 24-hour support line called the Warm Line. We have a lot of free programs, a lot of forums like this. We have our Anxiety Sucks is our other podcast, is our sister podcast for the transitional age youth. It's more of like a 16 to 24 year old demographic, or versus this podcast is a general podcast. It's Okay to Feel is about any topic related to mental health that kind of intersects this idea. And so I'm really grateful to be the host. I am the program manager here at NAMI Orange County, and my name is Ed Portillo. So we really appreciate you joining us. Please visit our website at namioc.org for all the info on NAMI. And if you wanted to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at itsokaytofeel@namioc.org. All right. Hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you. It does. So, hi, Maria. Thanks for joining
Hi.
us.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Great. Great. So, we'll get into a lot of what she does and what she has done in the past to, talk about her book, and her book is really it's to take a shot at happiness. So there's a lot of blending in of her story and what she's done in her, I believe you said in your bio, 8 years with the TV show Survivor. So yeah, tell us more about that.
I did 7 seasons of Survivor, and I was one of the original producers. And during my time on Survivor, I had a front row seat to seeing the best and worst in human behavior. And that was in part a catalyst for going on my own journey. Because what I realized from doing the show is that, good or bad, we all have untapped potential that we don't really understand until it's either tested or you explore it. So often I would be sitting in interviews with the contestants, and they would say, this isn't really me, this is me playing a game. And of course it's them. Those were those words and actions. And that's what made me realize is that they just had never been put into that situation to see that part of their personality to come out. They hadn't been on a remote beach vying for life-changing money without their creature comforts, without their emotional support of their family and friends. And so how would they know their behavior in that particular scenario? And so that's what got me on the idea of, you don't really know what you can fully do when, until you're tested or explored, or you explore it. And that's what my book invites readers to do, is to explore what happiness is. And I do it through what I call happiness essentials.
That's great. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's talk about the happiness essentials. Let's talk about, you say you have eight, let's see, what was it called?
Yeah, there's
eight essentials, eight happiness essentials. So let's get into that. How do you explore that with us? Yeah.
Okay. So I have eight happiness essentials, and I'll just go over three of them here. When I was at a very low point in my life, you know, a few years back, when I felt that my business life and my professional life were not where I wanted it to be, I made a very conscious choice that I did not want to sit in that upset, that disappointment. I didn't want to be defined by it. So I made a choice. And that choice was to be happy. And when people ask me, what is the key to happiness? I believe it's a choice then backed up by intentional activities. And that's what my book helps readers to do. You know, you make that choice that you want to be happier, that you want to have a better mental state of being. You want to have those emotional tools to help navigate the challenges. But you have to do something about it. It's like the person who says, well, I want to have six-pack abs. I want to have a really great body. However, if they don't go to the gym, nothing is going to change in terms of their physique. You know, they have to do the exercises. Well, same with your happiness and your well-being. You have to do the practice. You have to do the exploration to up-level your happiness and well-being. And so when I was sitting in a state of despair for me, I qualified for myself, well, what were the happiness essentials that I have had in my past? And what do I think will be those happiness essentials in my future? And then I researched what I was intuitively feeling to see if there was science to back it up. And then that became the chapters of my book. It became the dissertation of my paper when I got my PhD. And then it became the chapters of my book. And what the happiness essentials are. It's the core values and qualities, virtues, habits of happy people. And what can you do to get that for yourself? And I have a creative approach. And I think that that's what differentiates my work from the other work that's out there, the other book that's out there, is that I have chosen a creative path to becoming happier.
Great. So let's kind of unwrap those four qualities, because I think that's really important. The analogy of, if you want to get a six pack, but you can't, if you don't go to the gym, that's really great for the, you know, tangible things that I can understand, but it's almost like a different way of retraining your mind that you're talking about. And so talk a little about those four aspects that you want to unwrap of your happiness to get to happiness. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the three foundational happiness essentials that I identified for myself in research were faith, love, and your health in mind, body, and spirit. That your health is really three-dimensional. It's not just getting the six-pack abs. You know, it's also taking care of your mind. It's taking care of your spirit, you know, however you define that for yourself. I feel that those are your three foundations that then you build other things like love and gratitude and I'm sorry, that you build gratitude and forgiveness, you know, sense of peace, you know, those kinds of things come out of having a very strong foundation in your faith, in having loving relationships, and in taking care of your health in mind, body, and spirit.
Okay, that's great. And I had a question about your the faith, and I think that's important to know. You have faith in life. So sometimes when you think about faith, you think about it's a belief system. I have to be religious. That's not everything that you're talking about. You're talking about tell us more about that. Tell us more about the faith in life, or the faith aspect that you have to really ground yourself in.
So for me, faith, I am Christian and I believe in God. However, people define faith, their spirituality in different ways. And that's a very personal path, and one that is up to the individual to explore and define that for themselves. And having faith, and one of the first things that I write about when it comes to having faith, you know, faith is the very first happiness essential that I write about in my book. And the very first point I make about it is believing in something beyond yourself, however you defined it, whether you call it God, whether you call it the quantum field, whether you call it the source, is that you have a belief in something that is guiding you, pointing you in a good direction. And when you have that, that gives you solace. It gives you hope. It gives you a vessel to put things like, where do I go for direction? Where do I, you know, go for peace? Where do I go for clarity? You know, and that's where having a prayer and a meditation practice is so powerful, because you can come into your stillness. You know, I say, you know, prayer is talking to God, and meditation is listening. So however that is defined for you, you know, it is talking to your greater source and then listening to your greater source. You know, that intuition that lives inside of you, that you take the time to become quiet and tune into that. And when you do that over time, it becomes more refined. It's like tuning into a radio station. You know, sometimes the station is crackly and you can't really get the reception, but you mess with the knob a little bit, and then it becomes finer and finer tuned until you're actually receiving. Well, that's what you're doing, is you're fine tuning your ability to receive. And then you are more open to the messages that you are getting out in the universe. You know, so when you are planting a desire, you know, you want to create a certain kind of business for yourself, but you're not sure how, that suddenly you're seeing a course that's exactly the business that you want to create. You know, a course that helps you create an online business, or there's a book that tells you how to create an online business, or there's a billboard that says something like believe. You know, you start to look for signs around you that help to guide you in that direction. You become more aware to the conversations you are having with people. you know, maybe that random person that you're meeting standing in the grocery line says three words to you that click, because now you're open to receiving messages that click, that say, oh, right, I can use that idea. You know, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, especially when you say refine, because again, the what you're asking people to do, what or at least what I see is, you know, in the same example that you give of going to the gym, making a six pack, that type of six pack mentality is what you do with your mind and what you do like by refining and going over and taking the time to be in the stillness, take the time to really reflect. And that's all conditioning, just like you would condition yourself in the gym. So I really, it resonates with me a lot, because I feel like the disconnect that we have in our society and in our work is really, you know, we don't realize that everything's connected, and we have the ability to push through things as long as we, you know, make that commitment. So speaking of that, I wanted to kind of like talk a little bit more about your, you know, you talk about the idea of happiness essentials, and how do you strip off this idea of negativity in our that's so prevalent. So we can talk about refining and kind of getting better in our you know, thought process and everything like that, but there's so many thoughts that come in our minds, and you talk about that in your book. So can you talk a little bit about how we can brush off or strip off the negativity?
Yes, and really that's what my entire book is about. It's looking for those positive, constructive, productive opportunities to retrain your brain. You know, we learn, you know, we desire to study the happiness essentials, which are the core values and qualities and habits of happy people, really so we have resilience. For me, after all my studies, I feel like happiness is another word for resilience. You know, that's not to say that happy people don't have their big challenges in life. They do. We all do. However, what differentiates somebody who is happier versus unhappy is that they tend to have the awareness to recognize their challenges earlier, have the wherewithal to navigate those challenges in a way that is healthier, and then come out on the other side being more emotionally intact. So that's really the why, the benefit of reading a book like mine, why you study happy people, is so you learn what they do, so you can bring that into your life, so you are more resilient. You know, that's the deeper takeaway. You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about coming out of it. Talking about this idea of resilience. What are the steps that you recommend for people that they can come out of where they're at to get to a better place? In their mindset, like a healthier mindset.
Right. I mean, there's certainly circumstantial events that happened in your life that require maybe a certain higher level of expertise or therapy, and to recognize when you need that additional help. You know, I you know, certainly want to, you know, say as a caveat to anything, is that if you really need some deep help, then go get it. What's unfortunate is if you don't get the help and that you never get through whatever that real trauma is. But some of the things that you can do in your daily life, and these these are practices that I do on a daily basis and have changed my life a 180. One of them is a practice that I learned from one of my favorite teachers, which is Dr. Rick Hansen. And it's savoring the good. And this is so powerful in that so often we have these moments in life, whether they're celebratory, whether it's celebrating a job promotion and you go out and you have a celebratory dinner, and then that's it. You're off to, the next thing. I got that. Now what's the next? I got that. Now what's the next? You're really not savoring being in that moment of celebration, or even something as simple as walking by a garden in the neighborhood. A lot of times there's beautiful flowers in springtime and you just walk by it and you might say, oh, pretty flowers, and you keep walking. Well, the invitation is to, during these moments of pleasure, during these moments that are positive, that are productive for you, that you sit in them, that you're really present to them, at least 20 to 30 seconds. That you are savoring, you're really taking in, how are you feeling in this moment? What are the smells? What are the colors? What are the textures? And by taking that 20 to 30 seconds, what you're doing is you're creating a memory. You're creating a positive memory that now you can store in your brain. And you build a storehouse of positive memories that you can always come back to when you are being, finding yourself in a challenging time. And by looking for positive moments throughout your day, every day, consistent intentional action, what you're doing is you're training your brain to look for the positive. And that is creating a positive neural pathway. So while we are predisposed to a negative pathway, a negative bias, you can retrain yourself to have a positive bias by just stopping and savoring your moments throughout the day, just stopping for 20 to 30 seconds, and just really building that. It's like when you're creating a new trail. A fresh trail, you can't see it. And then the more you go over that trail, whether it's a hiking trail or a snow, you're skiing a snow trail, the more you go over it, the deeper and wider it becomes. So the more you stop for that 20 to 30 seconds throughout your day, the more pronounced that positive neural pathway will become, until eventually it becomes your habit. And once it becomes your habit, then now it's reshaping, it's shifting your happiness and your well-being. And then the other thing for dealing with negative thoughts that is a huge game changer, thought stopping. It's not terribly original, but thought stopping is exactly what you're doing. And it comes out of a positive behavior therapy. And what that is when you are aware that you're having a thought that you don't want to engage in, it's not productive. And instead of just fighting it, you can have a rubber band around your wrist and snap the rubber band. You can literally clap your hands, or you can verbally say, stop it. And what this does is it startles your thought. It interrupts your thought. So then you can use that opportunity to then redirect your thought to something that is more productive, more constructive, more pleasant. Or the other thing that you can do is use that moment that where you have startled your thought to now look at, well, what is the lesson here? What's the takeaway here that can actually help me? Mm-hmm. Now, so those are two. And then the third one is having a meditation or prayer practice. And there's research, recent research out of Stanford University that says that prayer is like cognitive behavior therapy in that you are shifting your mind from thinking about something that is unpleasant, your circumstance, your upset, to something that is more beneficial, your prayer. So instead of ruminating on your upset, you're now ruminating on a prayer. So you're shifting, you know, from something that is not helpful to something that is. So those are three things right there that people can do that starting today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like the idea of how prayer is cognitive behavioral therapy. So in the sense that it is, you are working stuff out, you know, when you're with a therapist, you're the one that's doing the talking. You're the one that's talking about things that you didn't realize was a big deal. You didn't realize that came out of you. And the same thing happens with prayer, because the idea is, or even meditation, my understanding is that it's the way that you draw yourself closer to that higher being, you know, to that, the universe, whatever you call yourself. And then that's what is training you to, you know, in the sense that if you were in therapy, you have that same type of reaction. That's very interesting. But what you're talking about is very important. But you come from a world that is very fast paced, very deadline oriented, a lot of hours. So talk about how your journey was impacted by, you know, where did you get to this point where you needed to rethink things in your life to get to this place of happiness?
My crash and burn. Just the 24/7 demand just got to me. You know, after a while dealing with, you know, a high level of needing to deliver, you know, especially when you are in charge of a lot of people, you're in very remote locations. There are toxic personalities, and it just that day to day eventually wore on me. And I just felt that it was not sustainable. And so that goes back to what I said earlier in our conversation, is that I made a conscious decision that I did not want to stay in a place that was making me unhappy. And I wanted to look for ways, tools, a way of thinking that could help me navigate the challenges of my lifestyle. And that's when I started reading books, getting certifications, eventually a degree, and then writing about it. I wanted to share what has been so transformative in my life to help others. You know?
Yeah. So how do you apply that, you know, now in Hollywood? Because now you're still doing projects. I understand you're still part of a production company, and you're doing stuff more independently.
Right.
How do you apply that now with the people that you're working with the projects that you're working with, when it's still a 24/7 on demand, it's deadline oriented, it's people, you know, aren't thinking necessarily of the moment. They're thinking about, you know, let me get this bottom line, you know, done, and in the Hollywood kind of mindset.
Well, I choose who I want to work with. Yeah, if I think someone is a toxic personality, I don't care what they are doing. I just will not be part of it. Yeah, so I look at the situations to see, is this a healthy situation for me? And if it's not a healthy situation, then I move on. And I am much more conscious about making sure I get, I need 7 hours of sleep. So I make sure that I'm getting enough sleep. I'm drinking enough water. I'm exercising. Big walker, hiker. I have this natural ability to walk long distances. That's one of my superpowers. And so I have walked marathons on every continent, and they've been for fundraisers. So I do something physical. Yeah. So I have things that help me in terms of my overall health. Yeah, that I'm taking care of my spiritual world through meditation and prayer. I'm taking care of my physical world by what I am eating and resting and what I'm consuming. And then I'm taking care of my mental world by paying attention to my thoughts and my reactions and really catching and really catching myself.
Wow. So that's, yeah, you bring, you know, all that in to this world that doesn't necessarily, you know, respect that or really honor that, but you have found a place, you know, that you're able to do all those things, implement all those things because you're, you know, choosing who you're working with. You're doing all the things that are really important. And I think that's a big takeaway for a lot of people is toxic environments, is, you know, the demands of the job that maybe aren't really given to a person, but they take it upon themselves or they take on too much. But let's talk about this idea of getting to a place of contentment. I think a lot of what we're talking about here is this idea, and it might be similar to everything that we've been talking about already. But I think, you know, in a lot of people's lives, they are not satisfied. And I think that this idea of contentment is really important. Can you talk about that journey of getting to that place of contentment?
And it's all of these things that I've been talking about. It is taking care of your health in mind, body, and spirit. And the other piece to, you know, what am I doing now in my entertainment world? I'm also nurturing the relationships. That's the other piece, is that my relationships are very important to me. It's the, you know, having faith, you know, my spiritual meditation practice that I do every day. It's taking care of my mind, body, and spirit, and, you know, paying attention to sleeping and eating, and then my relationships, love. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are my foundations. And in terms of creating contentment, you know, you do all of these things and it creates a feeling inside of you. You know, because I spend time savoring the good, I look for those good moments throughout my day and savor them for 20 to 30 seconds because I stop myself from being on a hamster wheel of negative thinking, because I draw boundaries around the kind of information that I take in, the kinds of personalities I'm around, the kinds of work I do. You know, you do that often enough, you have boundaries. You know what is a yes and a no. And the no stuff, you either don't engage in or you really minimize it. You learn to stand for yourself. And when you are doing these things, you just have a feeling that you are a calmer, more at peace, because you feel in control of your life. And that's not to say that you can control the external stuff, the stuff that is happening outside of you, but you sure as heck can control how you are reacting to it.
Yeah.
So I think it's gaining that sense of control and understanding that you have a lot within your control in terms of how you are behaving, how you are reacting, that gives you that sense of ease, that sense of you know, being more peaceful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really, really like what you say about what it's really getting okay with yourself, you know, that getting to that place of contentment with taking all of these practices that you're saying and putting them all together, but also saying that you care about you're an advocate for yourself. And that's often a saying in the mental health community, is being an advocate for yourself. When you're in a doctor's office, when you're trying to make these calls for appointments and things like that. But it also comes with your own well-being, you know, your place in this world is like, you are important, and we should take time to realize that our significance and how we can, you know, change things internally. So yeah, I mean, I like this idea of like leaning into creativity. And when you talk about creativity, we often think it's only for people that are, you know, creative thinkers or people that are in your line of work. But you talk of creativity as something that everyone can apply. Can you talk a little bit about how creativity applies to everyone?
Well, we all have creativity. It's whether you acknowledge it as creativity. I think that there are certain definitions of ways of being or types of personality that gives the connotation, well, if you're an engineer, you're not creative. Well, you have to be massively creative if you're an engineer to come up with all of those solutions to making our world work better. That's creative thinking. You know, so you can find creativity if you are gardening, you know, choosing the flowers, the color of flowers, and how they're being arranged in a garden, that's creative. There's a lot of creativity in cooking, and what are the ingredients and the different proportions, and how are you presenting the plate? You know, there's creativity in designing a workflow for a project. You know, mathematics is very creative. You know, I think there is a lot of creativity in science. So I think it is opening your aperture, if you will. I use a lot of camera terminology to frame my book, if you will. If you open your aperture, that your definition of creativity, I'm pretty sure you're going to find some place where you fall as a creative person. And the thing is, people really love tapping into their creativity. They're just not giving themselves the permission to do so. And what differentiates my work from others is in the happiness field, is that I take a creative approach to becoming happier and managing your well-being, in that I write about a concept. I write about faith, and it's based on my experiences. I draw from stories from films and books, as well as my travels. And I have research that backs up the things that I'm writing about. And when a reader is done with that section, I make the invitation to take their cell phones and use the guided prompts that are in my book. And I also have an app that have all these prompts. Use their cell phones to take images of what they have just read about and then journal about those images. And so what that does is it takes intellectual ideas, head ideas, stuff that's floating around just up in your head, and it brings it down into your heart. So you embody it, and that it's an exploration. I'm asking readers to be happiness explorers, to better understand themselves and what makes them happier in a way that's very specific to them. So you use the camera phone photography and journaling prompts to better understand, how does faith really fit into my happiness? I mean, I know I believe in God, or, you know, I know that love is meaningful to me, but how? Have you really explored how? And that's what my book helps people to do, because when you do that exploration, you understand your happiness in a way that isn't a concept that science research says, well, this is the way, you know, you should be if you're going to be happy. But this is doing that exploration is like, this is how I'm going to be happy specific to me. This is how I need to process love. This is how I need to have loving relationships.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think using a creative approach, it gives you a permission to do an exploration in a way that is it's conscious, it's intentional, and it allows you to ask the questions.
Yeah, and just to clarify too, when you say open up your aperture, that's a photography term, which means something. Is it something to the effect of opening up the possibility, like the colors, opening up the hues, opening up the ability for you to see it, your picture in a different light?
Exactly. It's opening up yourself to see other opportunities, other ways of viewing things, other ways of seeing your life.
Yeah, and I like the app idea, because you're, you know, reinforcing a lot of what you're learning, these ideas of the creative way of going after it, and really making this a practice, because it's not if you wanted to make the change, then it's a matter of taking the time to doing it over, making it a practice. When you write the journal, it's really just free flowing. It doesn't have to have a specific, okay. Yeah. So that's also very important, is that it's something that is organic, whatever's floating in your mind, write about it, that connects to the picture.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll give prompts. I mean, throughout the book, there are centering thoughts and affirmations that can help stir your creativity. But yes, it's, the work is for you. So it doesn't matter. One, it doesn't matter if you are a good photographer, because these are your images. You're not looking to, you know, publish it. These are, you can share it with friends if you want, but this is, the work is for you. So when you're writing, it doesn't matter your spelling, your grammar, your sentence structure. And, you know, it's just, this is a way for you to process, a way for you to process better. How does gratitude make me happier? How does forgiveness, that's a big one, how does forgiveness make me happy? You know, make me, you know, my boost my well-being.
Yeah. And that's really important in the sense of, you know, understanding yourself better, understanding who you are, and, you know, being more comfortable in your own skin.
Exactly.
By, you know, forgiving, by having gratitude.
Here's the thing, is that we go to school to learn to be doctors, lawyers, teachers, filmmakers. However, very little attention is given to how do we be happy? How do we manage our well-being? We have to kind of figure that out on our own. We're not given a process, a method. You know, one of the biggest classes at Yale University is the one on happiness. Because students are so stressed out and unhappy that I mean, I don't want to make an overstatement, but they feel like they need, it's so popular because they want the tools, the ability to manage their well-being better, because we're not taught this.
Yeah, and it's so important. And some people have the disposition, like they're optimistic, you know, and they already kind of have that strength in them. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people are, they need to have that boost. They need to have that understanding. They need to have that practice in their life. So it's really important. I want to, you know, we're kind of, I want to respect everybody's time here. We're going to get kind of close to wrapping up here, but I wanted to see, what is anything that is like the hope that you see, because we are living in a very, like, you could probably say divided world, or divided society, at least in America, in like a lot of beliefs and a lot of the political arena, certainly, in just a lot of just thinking, like, what is the hope that you see, in the future, or that you see in the work that you're doing, the research that you've seen?
Well, I am hoping to see a happiness revolution. And I think that you are seeing this more and more. I think coming out of COVID, there was a real reevaluation at how are we existing in the workplace? How are we existing in our relationships? How are we existing in our relationships to ourselves and to the greater universe, God, whatever you call it. And I think that we also are seeing this being paid more attention in psychology. Positive psychology has only been around maybe 15 years, something like that. It's a very young area of psychology. And it was really started with the idea that, you know, psychology has been focusing on what's wrong. What about focusing on what's good and nurturing that? And that comes from Martin Seligman out of the University of Pennsylvania. He is considered the grandfather, the founder of positive psychology. And then you're seeing the United Nations and how now for the last several years, they have the World Happiness Report, where they're looking at the countries where the well-being is at a higher level. You're seeing a lot of corporations paying more attention to their corporate environment. You know, the workplace is a healthier environment to be in. You're seeing this at like Zapier and Facebook, and it's just becoming a bigger conversation. So my hope is that it's a continued conversation, that it's not okay to work inside four white walls and not have any consideration to how that is impacting your happiness and well-being.
Yeah, a happiness revolution. That's great. And I think that's something that, yeah, it's good that we're seeing it in a wider sense, in the business sense. We're seeing it in the psychology, and we're seeing it like in this micro level in what you're talking about, of how we can really do that in our own lives. So what is, Maria, tell us the best way that people can get your book and get into the app and into what you're working on.
Well, the one thing I do want to make a bigger punctuation on is what you just said, that this is within our control. You know, we can choose how we want to be in the world, and then you choose it by studying the habits, the qualities of happy people. You study what those happiness essentials are, and then you define it for yourself. I defined the happiness essentials and found research to back up what I was feeling for myself. But maybe you come to the end of my book and you say, you know what, I want to add one more that is important for me. You know, so these are guidelines, but you have a choice. Happiness is within your control. And the best way to reach me is mariabaltazzi.com. You can find me, Maria Baltazzi, at on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I'm also a meditation teacher on Insight Timer. And my app that has all of the activities of the book is also in the App Store under the same name, Take a Shot at Happiness. And really my book is the title, Take a Shot at Happiness, How to Write, Direct, and Produce the Life You Want. It's a call to action. It's more than just the title of my book. It's a call to action. And what you do throughout my book, which is using camera phone photography prompts and journaling, so you can explore happiness, your well-being. You know, what are the things that really bring you into a higher level of existence? You're muted.
Take a shot at happiness. Take a shot. And that's, yeah, that I really appreciate your time. This has been a really engaging conversation because as a person who considers himself an optimist, I'm always trying to get people to kind of think on the bright side or have another perspective. And I'm often finding that, you know, oftentimes people are like, well, I'm a realist or I'm a pessimist, or, you know, but the idea of happiness and the idea of contentment, the idea of coming into a better place for yourself is really the core of what, you know, my goal is whenever I'm having conversations with friends about this topic and topics similar to this. So it's something really close to my heart. I really appreciate this conversation. And thank you again for joining us for an episode of It's Okay to Feel. And please, please, everyone, go out to Amazon and take a Shot at Happiness. Yeah, Take a Shot at Happiness is on Amazon and everywhere where books are sold, correct?
Yeah. Bought online wherever books are sold.
Great, great. All right. Well, thank you again, Maria, for joining us. And we'll see you on the next episode. Everyone else on the next It's Okay to Feel. So thank you again for joining us. We'll see you.